It is time now for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. And Bob King, you must have been in just heaven watching all of the fabulous successes of the little rover that could, in the little helicopter that could, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, it was really wonderful to see the drone. It sure looks like a drone, to see the Mars helicopter take off and land. In case people haven't seen the video, I've seen on TV they have run like the GIF animation, but there's actually a video of it, a much higher quality video where they've stacked together or composited many, many photos, and it looks pretty close to video time. And I've got that in my current blog. If you go to the just Astro Bob, or it's the one that's on Blogger. So astrobob1.blogger.com.
We'll get a link set up.
But anyway, it's a really great. It's just a great video. You can see the thing take off. It just looks like a toy, and it slowly goes up, and then they spin it a little this way and a little that way, and then they tip it left. They move it left and right. And then it goes down. I mean, it's just a perfect little flight. And they named the field. They've got kind of an airfield out there, you know, that they've now called the Wright Brothers Flying Field.
And don't they have a tiny little piece of fabric from, I think the little helicopter actually has a little piece of fabric from their plane.
Oh, that's news to me. That's wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
That's great. Yeah. So it really is a wonderful accomplishment to see that it's work. You know, you just try to imagine the air. It's like less than 1% the atmosphere of the Earth, and yet they're flying this device in that very, very thin air. Of course, they're spinning rapidly. Those blades are going at 2,800 revolutions or rotations a minute. So that thing is just going.
Is that going to be your next plan? To get in touch with Elon Musk and say, hey, you need a photographer. And next time, don't worry about all those remote camera stuff. Pick me. Just send me.
I'd be happy to. Well, the Ingenuity, the Mars helicopter, has another. I've read that it has 5 flights total that they're going to do. And this one was basically just up and down. But they will be moving the thing. They can move it, I think, a total of 160 feet on a path. And get it up there, oh, I can't remember how many feet, but I remember when they initially broke the news that they were going to send this to Mars, I was imagining more like a drone is going to take off, go half a mile, and come back.
Right.
But it's much more conservative, because obviously it's the first time that they're attempting this technology and the flight. And, you know, it happened. It worked.
Well, you know what happens? You know, I mean, you fly your drone into somebody else's yard, and they might go, I'm not bringing it back.
Yeah,
I'm not handing it back.
They'll bring out the shotgun.
Exactly. And if they fly the Ingenuity someplace where somebody goes, okay, finders keepers, boo-hoo.
Well, it looks so far like Mars is a really quiet place, and there aren't a lot of neighbors at this
That's
point.
That's what they want you to think, Bob. That's what they want you to think.
Well, we'll hopefully find out. After all of the flights are done, the rover's really going to get into exploration mode. It's done some exploring so far, but its main purpose is still to look for life where we think life might be or was. So,
to seek out new life and new civilizations?
Yeah, it's sort of like the Star Trek.
Uh-huh. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Very similar.
Cool.
Well, that's happening on Mars, and they're preparing for another flight. We have things you can do down here on Earth, believe it or not.
Look at the clouds. You can look at the clouds.
Well, it's going to be partly cloudy tonight, and then tomorrow night it's going to be clear. It looks really good for tomorrow night. Just bundle up, because it seems like these evenings have been really cold lately.
Thursday is going to be exquisite, however.
Oh, that's good.
Thursday is going to be right in the middle of all this nonsense. Drops Thursday, sunny skies and 60.
Okay.
And then it kind of goes back to, you know, 40s, 50s, rain, clouds, whatever.
Well, I'll hit the hiking trail that day.
All right, there you go.
But we have some fun things happening this week, especially if you're an early riser, who I know a few people.
Nah.
Like to get up early. We've been in a long drought. This happens every year. You get one meteor shower at the very beginning of the year on January 3rd, and then you have to wait all the way till April until the next one. And You have waited patiently, Lisa.
Yes.
So your reward will be the Lyrid meteor shower.
Now, this morning on Stardate, where I get a lot of really fascinating stuff, like the whole business about washing your car on Jupiter and that sort of stuff, they said that there's going to be, did they say there was going to be a full moon and that was going to kind of make it a little challenging?
Well, yeah, there will be a little bit of a moon problem, but not badly enough to prevent you from watching it. But the shower will peak overnight on Wednesday night, so tomorrow night, the very night it's supposed to be clear, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. You're not going to see much on Wednesday night itself before midnight.
But it's Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, the moon, which is a waxing gibbous moon right now, yes, the moon sets pretty late. It sets around 4:15 in the morning, which is very close to when twilight begins. So the best time to view the Lyrid shower is when the moon is lowest and the meteor radiant, the point in the sky the meteors stream from, is high. And that radiant is near Lyra, right near the star Vega, which is the brightest star in the summer triangle. You just go out, look way up high, and there's this big, bright white star. That's the direction the meteors will come from. And the shower, you can see it best between about 3 o'clock and 4:30.
Mm.
So you've got some time, you've got about an hour and a half in there where the moon will be low. It'll be bright still. The sky, you'll notice moonlight. But the moon will have dropped off into the western sky. And it'll be dark enough to see. It's not ideal, granted. So, especially when you can.
Well, anytime you can get outside in the tulies in this neck of the woods where it's so gorgeous anyway.
Yeah.
You know, oh, boo hoo hoo. I didn't get great shots of the meteor shower, but I got great shots of everything else, and I listened to the frogs, and oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, it's always so great. And the birds coming on,
yes,
too, first thing in the morning. We get all of that at the same time.
Did you tell me what direction we're looking in the sky to see the meteor shower?
For any meteor shower, you never have to look in a particular direction.
It's just everywhere.
Because they come from a point in the sky, but they stream across the sky everywhere. You'll know it's a Lyrid meteor and it belongs to that shower if you can trace its path backwards towards the star Vega or Vega.
Okay.
All right, so that's a Lyrid. And there's not a ton of them. It's not like the Perseids of August. The Lyrids, you get about 15 to 20 meteors per hour. So that's not bad. I'm going to give it an hour's time. And if I'm lucky, maybe I'll see 10 meteors, and that would be fantastic. Again, 15 to 20 would be without a moon. If you add in the moon, it might only be around 10 per hour.
Still, 10 per hour gives you quite a number of opportunities to try to capture a photo and then to go back and look at it and go, all right, I need to fix this, and then try again. I mean, it gives you a fair number of tries and failures to make corrections.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely try to get a picture. The other thing, again, as we talked, you have the chance to just be outside, and while you're outside enjoying the first birds in the morning and listening to the frogs in the distance, you could also look towards the southeast. As it gets brighter out, especially as we get like 4:30-ish, and if you kind of linger on until 4:45, you're going to see real easily, if you've got a view to the southeast, you're going to see Jupiter on the left, and then to the right of Jupiter, the planet Saturn. And they're both really starting to look good now in the morning sky. They're coming up. They're, you know, moving out of twilight. So that's fun to see, get a couple of new planets in view. Lisa, in the evening, and it's fading. So it's even getting hard to find sometimes for some people.
Well, it's there's a lot going on. I'm surprised you don't just see all the lights in the parking lot.
Yeah, I know it. So anyway, the Lyrids, that would be Thursday morning between about 3 and 4:30. And these little guys are bits of dust and rock, and they come from a comet that's called Comet Thatcher. And every April, the Earth, as it orbits the sun, passes through the orbit of Comet Thatcher. And since it's always losing bits and pieces of itself. The Earth crashes into those bits and pieces, and they hit the atmosphere at around 30 miles per second. Okay, I don't know how many miles per hour that is, but 30 a second is fast. And so the meteors have kind of vaporized, and they leave a trail, and that's what we see. Or I should say the dust vaporizes, and they leave a trail.
That is so fabulous.
I want to tell, can I tell you one other fascinating, just one other
thing about
the Lyrids?
Would you please?
Of all the meteor showers that are visible in a year, the Lyrids have, they go furthest back in history in terms of how long people have been observing and recording the shower. And the Chinese, we have our earliest records from the Chinese, they were always such great record keepers of the night sky and still are, 687 B.C.,
Wow.
So people have been looking up at this shower for what? 2,600, almost 2,700.
2,700 years, give or take.
2,700 years. So this is a thread going through humanity, you know, where you can go back in time.
Think about that, exactly.
Like,
as you're looking up at the at those stars and you're thinking about 2,700 years of people watching this, you know, watching pieces off this same comet.
Yes, right. Same comet and roughly the same time of the year going out, looking at the shower. Almost like a Halley's Comet experience, except that's only once every 76 years. So, but this is a more of a continuous thread. And one final thing, okay, besides the Lyrids and the morning planets, we have the full pink moon happening.
Ooh, does it have a cool name?
Yes, and it's called pink because it's named after a flower that's known out east as moss pink, which is a type of phlox. You probably know the phloxes, don't you?
Right. I'm fond of phlox, actually.
You're fond of phlox?
I am fine, yes. I'm a phlox fan.
I'm also fond of phlox, too.
There we are.
It's a beautiful flower. But the full moon is happening on April 26th, so that's next Monday, not quite a week. So get ready, get down to Lake Superior if you're in Duluth, or get ready for that nice moonrise wherever you're at. And that moon is a little special because we've got three supermoons in a row. And I think I talked a little bit about supermoons last time. That's when, as the moon orbits the Earth, because its orbit is elliptical and not circular, one end of the orbit is closer to the Earth than the other. And if the full moon occurs close to the time, right around the time when the moon is closest to the Earth, at that end of its orbit, then that moon is about 7% brighter, or pardon me, 7% larger and 15% brighter than normal. And so we call that moon a supermoon. So it's a super pink moon happening next Monday.
Yeah, they're still over here. They're sort of trying to figure out how they can get me to be 15% brighter. But so far, not a lot of luck.
Well, just keep looking up.
Yeah, we'll hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to see if I can find an astronomer who could maybe be bribed with, I don't know, coffee and rolls, who might want to go out and take a look at the Lyrids with me in a little field trip before work. So I'm going to see what I can. I'm going to see what I can arrange along those. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
All right, Bob. Thanks a million. It's always so much fun to talk with you.
Same here, Lisa. Always. Thank you.
Bob King is an astronomer, and he writes the AstroBob blog. We'll get some links set up so you can find some of the information that he talked about this morning. AstroBob's Backyard Astronomy, a regular feature of Tuesdays here on 103.3 KUMD.